ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's June 2023, and Narendra Modi is visiting Washington. For the first time, he's been invited to a state dinner, so he's being hosted by President Joe Biden. It's a big deal. Modi arrives in a crisp white kurta and a vest called a Nehru jacket. He kind of jogs up the stairs with a big smile. The Bidens are standing there, Jill in a long green sparkly dress and Joe in a tux. Modi shakes their hands and squishes in between them for a photo. Usually this sort of leader's picture is two couples, but Modi is riding solo. Male leaders try to get political capital from being a family man. Think Barack and Michelle Obama, Rishi Sunak and Akshata Murthy, Scott and Jenny Morrison. But for some Indian leaders, being single is a selling point. It means they can show their only commitment is to their country.
Sharir ka kan kan aur samay ka pal pal.
In this speech from last year, Modi saying, "I'm dedicated to the people of this nation. Every moment of my time is for the people of India." He's pulled out lines like this since he was rising up the political ranks. The thing is, Modi's not single. It's another one of those myths. In fact, he has a wife and he's tried to keep her a secret. I'm Avani Dias and I'm the ABC's South Asia correspondent. I've been travelling around India trying to get to the bottom of who Narendra Modi really is and the myths that surround the man. This is Looking for Modi. On this episode, we are going to find Modi's abandoned wife. For a long time, this was one of the biggest myths to surround Modi. It was often dismissed as a rumour because no one really believed a politician could keep something that big quiet. And it's one he's tried hard to make sure is not a part of his story. We met Shyamaldas Modi, Narendra Modi's childhood friend, on the last episode. When I'm with him at his place in their hometown of Vadnagar in Gujarat, his granddaughter is quietly watching us recording, and his grandson is doing classic boy things and playing with a toy gun. Shyamaldas's oldest son is praying inside. Hindu people ring a bell to tell their deities they've arrived, to get rid of evil and to focus their minds. This is an ordinary Indian household, generations of families living together. And it's what Narendra Modi was set out to have as well. I'm with my producer Som again, and we're talking about the moment when Modi's family decided he needed to get married.
So Shyamaldas is saying that at that time, families got young people married off early, so they wouldn't get left behind. And that's why Modi's family got him married early.
Yeah, and at that time, that would have been a pretty common practice, right?
Yeah, definitely. Shyamaldas said that they were in a group of 16 boys and nearly 10 of them were getting married. So his family were worried and didn't want to wait to marry off Modi because it would be hard to find a bride. So they got him married early.
So when Narendra Modi was 3 years old, his parents promised him to a girl in a town a couple of hours away. He wasn't told about it. This wasn't a child marriage, it was just a commitment to them getting married later. In India, people are divided into castes. It's a hierarchy of different social groups. It dictates your religious and social life, and traditionally, you only marry within your own caste. Modi's one is the Gujarati Ganchis. They were vegetable oil producers, and there are a lot of Hindu Ganchis, like Modi's family, as well as Muslims in the caste. Modi grew up with a Muslim community nearby. It's described as lower middle class. They're poor, but there are many castes which are worse off.
At least now marriages have changed a lot in India. But in the earlier days, It was very essential. I mean,
this is an Indian journalist. She doesn't want me to use her name because she's one of the few who has actually spoken to Narendra Modi's wife. She wants to stay anonymous because this topic is so sensitive, it could lead to backlash for her in India. Modi and his aides have gone to massive lengths to keep this away from the public. But she's agreed to talk to me on a kind of scratchy line. As a foreign journalist working in India, I'm a little bit more protected.
I mean, people married on the same caste basically because of the dominancy of the caste system in the country. And also because, it is easier for people to conduct their lives if they belong to the same caste, because there are a lot of social taboos attached with mixed marriages or intercaste marriages and all of that.
Modi's marriage followed the same template as most marriages in the Ganchi caste. The families of Modi and his wife-to-be, Yashodhan, met when they were around 12 years old to agree on the engagement, and the couple went through a religious ceremony called Shadi. When Yashodhan turned 17, they went through the religious ceremony of marriage. That's according to Modi's brother and Yashodhan herself. Narendra Modi hasn't ever confirmed or denied this.
Once these kids got married, then what happens is the girl stays in the house of her mother till she starts menstruating. After that, then they have this, a big traditional ceremony and all that they have. And after that, the girl is sent to her husband's house to, consummate that relationship, and then their life starts.
A 2018 survey of Indian households found 93% of Indians were in arranged marriages. And I want to make it clear, polls show most of them are happy. But in the late 1960s, Modi just wasn't into it. His childhood friend Shyamal Das told me that he was completely opposed to marriage. So before Modi and Yashodhan could move in together, when Narendra Modi was around 17 or 18, he packed up his bags and decided to leave home and the marriage. To leave your family and your planned marriage is a big deal anywhere in the world, but in India, it is huge. And remember, lots of people say Modi was stubborn, so he just wouldn't do something if he didn't want to. Shyamal Das told us what happened.
In the shadi 1968,
he said that elders gave their blessing to newlywed couple, and during that time, Modi told his wife that this is her house as well, and she is free to live in the house. Then he left the home.
Leaving his arranged marriage would have led to a pretty big fallout. Would things ever be the same? What did Shyamal Das say about that?
Yeah, he says that it was like Modi had gone forever.
And what about that actual day that he left? Shyamal Das remembers the whole thing, right?
Yeah, he said their family was in the state of mourning. But his mother stood behind him, supported him because she wanted him to progress in life. He also said the rest of Modi's family felt really bad about him leaving.
Under Indian law, Yashodhan was free to leave the marriage and could have asked her parents to set her up with someone else. But she didn't. Being a divorced woman in the late 60s in India was hard. As Modi rose through the ranks in the far-right organisation, the RSS, he proved his dedication to his work by showing he had no family ties. And when he started running for elections, he'd have to fill out registration forms, and he'd leave the spouse section blank year after year. In campaign speeches, Modi would actually say he was single.
She always remained an unknown quantity. Nobody knew that he was married. Till probably about 2007 or 2008. That was when it started, when suddenly whispers started that he was married and then this thing. Then people went in search of the wife.
Modi became chief minister of his home state in 2001. And when you get into a powerful position like that, people start digging into your past. A reporter found Yashodhan Modi in her Gujarat village in 2002, but she refused to talk to him, and he was kicked out of town. But eventually, she decided to speak.
और ये शुरुआत करते हैं इस वक्त की बड़ी खबर के साथ. बीजेपी के पीएम उम्मीदवार नरेंद्र मोदी ने पहली बार अपनी पत्नी के
So when I heard about that, I was very, very curious to find out. I had heard these rumors for a very long time and I always thought that they were rumors because there was never anything to verify that.
It's kind of wild when you think about it. A prominent politician got away with keeping a secret that big for so long. But the whispers were getting louder. So this anonymous journalist we've been hearing from started speaking to sources across Gujarat.
So I finally got the name of a town where she was supposed to be staying. So on a hunch, I just went. It was not even anything really concrete in my hand. I just went there and I inquired and I went to that place. And then, through wire sources, I started getting information. And finally, I reached the doorstep of that school where she worked.
While Modi was on his way to becoming the most powerful person in the country, his wife was living in a tiny home in her Gujarat village, working as a school teacher.
So the school was located right at the back of that village. And I went there and then I went inside and I asked for her. And when I asked for her, the principal of that school said she hadn't come to school that day. But there was somebody else who was present at that time. Who told me after the principal had left the room, she is very much there in school. When she comes, he'll call out her name and that would be the identification. And this person helped me.
And can you tell me what it was like? Like, talk me through when you were in the village. Like, how did people treat you? What was it like?
Oh, it was a very dangerous mission. So the people kept accosting me and walking with me. They were men, they were women. The mood of the village was completely angry. Everybody was angry. The driver of the vehicle that I had taken had been threatened with dire consequences. Then the person I was traveling with, the photographer, had been threatened. I feared that they would be attacked. So I told them, I said, you just go. You just finish whatever you have to do, you just go. Exit the village.
It's not really clear why people in the town were so angry, whether they were protecting Yashodhan or just didn't want the attention. But eventually, Yashodhan Modi took the journalist to her house. And what was she like when you met her?
She's a very, very simple woman, you know, with the hair tied up in a bun. Actually, she was somebody you could, you know, you will walk on the street and you will pass her by because she's just like anybody else, any village woman.
The journalist was given a letter from Yashodhan Modi, which told the story of her life.
Her life was absolutely that of, you know, a poverty-stricken person because she had to manage everything in her salary and her brother's salary as a school teacher. And her brothers who lived in the next village would keep an eye on her because of the powerful person that she was still married to. She had no means of entertainment. She had no friends. So she just lived that life, you know. So if you compare it to the life of the chief minister, then it was something where he lived in a plush bungalow and he had a very high-flying life. Her life was nothing compared to that. She was a poor, poverty-stricken woman trying to make a living from one day to the other.
After the story came out, this journo says she started getting threatening calls.
For a couple of months, there was a threatening atmosphere, but then I believed that I would not come to any harm. So I think that gave me the strength.
So the information was out there and it was clear Narendra Modi wasn't single, but Modi still managed to skirt around the issue and stories about his wife got kind of buried. It's pretty wild Modi could do that, right? Imagine news, a high-profile politician had a secret wife getting buried in other parts of the world. But it all came out during his first run for Prime Minister in 2014.
Gujarat ke Mukhya Mantri, Narendra Modi, BJP ke PM Umidwar, Narendra Modi.
He was legally forced to go public about his marriage and for the first time in almost 50 years, as he gave his nomination to run for PM, in the spouse section, he said he had a wife named Yashodhan Modi.
So it was like kind of a victory for us and for her that, you know, her name had to be written in that column. So that was a biggest, you know, impact of that story.
Then one of Modi's brothers, Sombai, released a statement saying that Narendra was forced into the arranged marriage and that the marriage was never consummated, something his wife has also told journalists.
But in this case, the marriage was never consummated, is what the lady told me.
Opposition politicians took legal action against Modi for not disclosing information about his wife. He wasn't found guilty of anything, but they started criticizing him. This politician says he's a person who does not identify his own wife, so how could he understand your problems? Now that her identity was out, Yashodhan then started speaking in public from time to time. She told one journalist that if Modi called, she'd be keen to start a new life with him. She prayed for him at a temple. She was meant to speak at a political event in support of Modi, but the conference was shut down. And when she tried to get a passport, it was rejected because she couldn't produce a marriage certificate.
If you're the spouse, even if you do not live with such a powerful man, I mean, you should be accorded a lot of respect than what you are getting now. So that is what I feel. I feel that she needs to be accorded that status and that respect.
Modi won that 2014 election in a landslide. Pretty soon after, Yashodhan told Reuters that she was surrounded by armed bodyguards 24/7. She said she has to cook for them and make their beds. She said they even follow her when she's heading to the shops in a rickshaw. And her brother said they'd become an economic liability. The vibe was they became more of a chore than protection. Documents show she put in a Freedom of Information request to find out why she was given security cover. She also registered a series of concerns about the security. But the FOI was rejected. So she appealed and she went on India's public broadcaster, Doordarshan, to talk about it.
Big embarrassment, meanwhile, for Prime Minister Narendra Modi. His estranged wife, Jashoda Ben, has filed an RTI application seeking the details of her security cover and the details of the other facilities that she's entitled to as the wife of the Prime Minister. So Chetna Ray.
India's National Information Ministry went off at Doordarshan's staff for airing the interview and moved the director thousands of kilometres away from the station's headquarters.
She's got wife plus a category security, which means that there is some acknowledgement that she's a spouse and she needs to be protected. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, even the security guards, they have a little less respect for her because she makes beds for those security guards sometimes.
How far is it from here? Like 30 minutes?
It's further from 30 minutes.
Since the truth came out about Modi's marriage, Yashodhan has kept a low profile, but I still wanted to know why. Why did Modi leave her? What's life been like since then? So Som and I decided to head to her village to find her, to see how things have been now that her husband is trying to win another term.
20 kilometers is it a little
We meet up with a local journalist who tells us where Yashodhan's ancestral village is. He says it's near Modi's hometown of Vadnagar.
Like native village, like where her parents lived.
Yeah.
Grew up, you know.
Yeah.
10 Ks?
Away, means further from Unja.
Okay. And she might be there, but maybe not.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. So why don't we go to the village, that village first, and then we can just talk to some people there and see what they say, and then we can judge what we do next. Yeah, let's just drive and see if there's anyone around, because it looks pretty quiet.
We get to Yashodhan Modi's ancestral village. It's where she grew up as a kid and lived when she first got engaged to Narendra Modi. But we don't know if she still lives there.
It's not that big.
Oh yeah, the houses are like quite big. Yeah. That temple's quite big as well.
It's just a couple of streets, but it's a clean and well-maintained village. A brown stone Hindu temple sits in the middle. We see some locals paving a driveway.
Oh, पिछला तालू का है हमारा वहाँ रहता है कोई कोई नहीं
They tell us Yashodhan used to live here and her ancestral home is a street away, but she moved to a bigger town just down the road.
Pradhan hai Modi ji, unka samdhi, unka wife, wo patni rehta hai Yashodhan ben.
To voice you ka to mehsana khabar nahi.
A couple of other people in the village say the same thing.
So we're turning into Unja now? Okay. It's more of a town, I guess.
So we go to the town and everyone we speak to says they know her. But when we ask where she is, they stumble around the question. Then we chat to a lady who says she's met Yashodhan Modi before.
What did she say?
Well, she says there's a place Gandhi called Gandhi Chowk. Yeah. Nearby hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so once she meet her, she's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
She says she was a nice woman and was helping out at the local hospital. But people are pretty sus on us asking these questions.
In village, it's community.
So do you think they're not saying because they just don't tell people or because of who she is?
All depend on the family, you know, how family might have actually moved.
An Indian village is like any other small town. Everyone knows everyone. Usually, if we're looking for someone in a village, they'll just tell us where their house is straight away. But when we're looking for Yashodhan Modi, no one wants to give us solid information. It's like they're protecting her. And they've been asked this question before. Eventually, someone gives us a number. They say it's Yashodhan Modi's brothers, who she's lived with over the last few years. It takes us a few goes, but eventually someone answers.
Hello. Hello. Haji sir, namaste. Hello. Ji, main Delhi se bol raha tha, Soom Patida. Main media se bol raha tha, media.
Is he the brother?
Yeah, he says no interview, no what do you want to ask. And I then say, okay, that's fine, if we can come and meet.
Mm. Did he say where he is?
No, he said, I will call you back.
Okay. Then you can hear Yashodhan's brother speak to a woman. He asks her if he should let us come over. It's kind of crazy to believe we're finally hearing her. Could this be Yashodhan Modi? It's hard to imagine a first lady that's more difficult to track down or find out about. When she's asked if we can come over, she says no. Because we are nosy journalists, we try calling again just in case, but the phone rings out and we can't get through again. And that's as close as we get to the Prime Minister's wife.
The person you are calling is not answering. Please try later.
Clearly, they don't want us there. Maybe she just doesn't want to talk publicly anymore, or she's too scared. When Narendra Modi left the marriage, apparently he told Yashodhan that he wasn't leaving because of her and encouraged her to keep studying. After years of teaching, she's now retired and never remarried. On one hand, people say, well, this was a marriage arranged by his parents that Modi didn't want. So it's fair enough that he left and pursued what he wanted. But others, like the journalist I spoke to, are like, well, a woman would never have been allowed to do what Modi did.
If I'm speaking solely as a woman, I feel that abandonment should not have happened. And that he should never be forgiven for that abandonment. That is what I feel as a woman. It is like, you know, he has chosen to cut off that part of his life from public consumption, from public view. And he has never ever acknowledged, other than in that election affidavit of her as his wife, he's never ever publicly spoken about it or acknowledged her. So I feel that, you know, somewhere along the way, I mean, there's an abandoned woman. And she needs her justice.
To me, this part of Modi's story sort of sums up him as a prime minister and the myths that surround him. For someone whose political brand is so much about Indian tradition, Narendra Modi ultimately went against that in his own life, leaving an arranged marriage. But he also talks a lot about modernising the country, and while pushing this pride in Indian culture, he's still working more with the West than any previous government. Modi still doesn't mention his wife, but on his official profile on the Indian Parliament website, there is one line. It says, spouse, Yashodhan Narendra Modi.
One thing I found when trying to look for her and trying to speak to people about this is that people are really hesitant to talk about it. Why did you feel that you should talk about it, even if you're not using your name? Why did you think it was important to speak about her?
She's also old. That respect that she should have been accorded in the beginning of her life, she should get some respect for the person that she was and the life that she's lived, some acknowledgement of who she is. Your other half is having a much, much, much better life than what you are. So this half should also be given that status. If not such an elevated status, at least a better life, which is why I have spoken about.
There's an election coming up. Narendra Modi's also been prime minister for 10 years now. This whole thing with his wife, what does that indicate?
So he's got a cult following. It will in no way impact his standing as a leader, because it really doesn't matter whether he's married or not, because he's got a godlike status. So in that godlike status, you don't ask gods, no, if they are married. So it's exactly like that.
So where did Narendra Modi disappear to when he left his wife and family as a 17-year-old? What was he searching for that was worth going against tradition and upsetting his family? That's on the next episode of Looking for Modi. This podcast is by me, Avani Dias, and produced by Madeline Jenner. Additional production by Yasmin Parry, research by Som Pathadar, and audio production is by Anna John.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.